Black are gold pants, black are gold pants, black are gold.
Basketball.
Black are gold pants, basketball podcast. Black are gold pants, basketball. Black are gold pants, basketball podcast. We're talking basketball on the podcast. Black or gold pants basketball podcast with Black Heart and Gold Pants to talk about the basketball team. We're not that good at basketball. Black or gold pants.
What's going on, man?
Nothing, just watching TPZ try to blow this game.
He's doing his best, isn't he?
He is.
So Jacoby got hung up on something.
I'm pretty certain that he just doesn't like me. This is like the second podcast that he's not on with.
It's been you and me twice now. That's right. Because last time, wasn't it like Coach Search or something like that?
Yeah, it was. Yep, it was after Licklider got tossed.
See, I wouldn't go solo with anybody but you.
Well, that makes me feel better about
it
myself.
Sounds kind of creepy.
And my body.
Yes. It's kind of crazy. So, hey, how about them Hawkeyes?
Tell you what, that we'll take that for now. You know what? For what we've all been through the last 4 years, we'll take that for sure.
Yeah. We'll just skip past the intro and throw everything we just said in, except for the part about midget porn. Well, like I said, part just got in now, too.
Well, there's
another discussion of bishop porn. But I'm recording with Storm and Spake, a.k.a. Justin Van Leer of Hawkeye Nation. This is Pat Van from Black Heart Gold Pants. Adam Jacoby is out ill tonight. But we were recording on Tuesday night in the wake of Iowa's moral victory over number two, Ohio State. Busy day in the Big Ten, but we figured, what the hell, let's talk basketball anyway. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Thanks.
This team's going to beat some people they shouldn't beat, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. They're going to probably lose to a team they probably shouldn't lose to, like an Indiana or a Michigan. But, you know, they're going to sneak up on somebody. I've got that last game of the season pegged right now, that Purdue game. As long as, you know, a significant player doesn't get hurt, I think they're really going to give them a run the last game of the Big Ten season.
Now, is it just me, or my first observation tonight was, is it just me, or is this the first time since Dr. Tom that we really seem to be seeing some progress from the big men?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually making progress throughout the season. You know, big men typically take a little longer to develop, and so you watch it happen, and we didn't see anything in the last 3 to 4 years in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, Cole, even him, he's got an outside shot now. His jumper's fallen. And Basabi, I mean, from week one to where we're at now here in whatever, week 15 or week 14, he's just a totally better player all around.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone from kind of lost in the shadow of everybody around him to a centerpiece of the offense. He's going to get the Brendan Kugel honorary spot as the number one pick in the primetime league.
He has much longer arms than Brendan Kugel, though.
Yeah, so does my baby nephew. body mass index.
As much as playing time in the Iowa basketball team this year, too.
Yes, so. Yes. Same in playing time, arm length, and BMI. you're a little closer to the program than we are, you know, what's your takeaway from the first, I suppose now we're a month and a half, 2 months of the Fred McCaffrey regime?
Yeah, the most, I guess, say that you hit the thing I've been most impressed with so far in the season actually is the coaching staff. I mean, every time I look over that staff, you know, you see Spira, you see, you know, Francis, we'll see how he is when it comes to it, you know, when his recruiting. But, you know, you got Bowen there as a video coordinator, you know, and then you've got Dillard there. And that coaching staff is honestly amazing. And I've just you can see, like, again, like we talked earlier, from day one to where we're at now, it's a completely different Iowa basketball team, and you can put that 100% on the coaches, because it's not like these players suddenly learn how to play basketball, you know, this much better, you know, by themselves. They have a great staff, and man, I tell you what, they're bringing some excitement back to the ball game and the back end of the court. I think Carver's going to start to fill up again, and you know, you saw tonight, even in the loss, you've had people standing, giving him a standing ovation at the end of the game, and that speaks volumes to the staff and their intensity. Man, my God, we've got somebody on the sidelines that actually, I guess, cares.
Yeah, I mean, I think the crowd's definitely fed off of it. I mean, we've gone from head in your hands, what is it we're going to do? You know, I hate to try to assign, you know, feelings to what Licklider was doing, but he always just seemed like he was moping. And now you've got a guy who, when things aren't going well, he's yelling. I mean, I haven't seen him at Carver yet. I saw him at Drake. And it's a sight to see. I mean, he's really involved. And as you said, the coaches, the assistant coaches are constantly with players on the bench, talking about things they can improve on, talking about things they did incorrectly and what they can do to fix it.
There'll be times where McCaffrey will call a timeout, and actually Coach Kirk will come out and he'll draw a play up for the team.
Right.
McCaffrey will take one or two players aside, talk to them while Spurs is actually talking to them about what's going on, and then he'll come back in to finish on the timeout. So it's a tandem there. It's almost like you have two head coaches on the team. I'm not saying, you know, France's not the man. I'm just saying that he's got an excellent support system, and it's damn fun to see.
And it seems like he's comfortable with that. I mean, I got worried when he brought in Spurrah that he might want to take control, but it seems like he's completely okay with the fact that he's got a guy with that much experience and that much, notches on the bedpost as a coach that he can, you know, hand off the reins and go do other things.
Yeah, I find it amazing that, you know, just less than 3 years ago when, you know, coaches were getting fired and stuff, you know, his name came up quite a few times
in
coaching positions across the nation. So, I mean, he's legit. I mean, a lot of Iowa fans like him because he's an Iowa boy, but that's not us being biased either. It's, you know, he's a solid head coach, a solid basketball coach, and he's helping up Fran and the program in a big, big, big way.
No, he was on the short list. At least, you know, as far as the rumor mill goes, he was on the short list when Licklider got hired.
Yep, so Alfred got fired. Well, went off, whatever you call what Alfred did, I guess.
Yeah, mutual left agreement. Don
exactly.
Quixote de la Mancha went off to chase windmills in New Mexico. is there any word yet on, you talked about, we don't really know exactly how the young guy Miller is going to do in recruiting, but has there been any word yet on how they're doing with potential recruits for 2012?
Well, 2011, they're not done with,
right,
you know, the spring period here. They're still looking at a lot of guys. I think they got about, you know, five or six offers out there right now. A lot of the East Coast guys are looking at one of those. Eli Carter is one of those combo guards they're looking at out in the East Coast. Another guy, I think his name is like Shaquille Stokes or something like that. He's from Brooklyn or somewhere around there, and he's another guy that I was looking at, just a couple combo guards and a couple point guards to try to, you know, fill that need. Because I guess kind of scares me a little bit is the fact that, you know, you don't actually know what's going on with Cully. He's probably going to take that red shirt this year due to his back.
Yeah.
And you just don't know with back injuries. Those things may never heal. He'll never be 100%. We know that. But can he play basketball again? Probably. But how effective will he be? So, I mean, I'm not to dog, Devin Marble, his abilities at the point, but Iowa definitely needs another point guard at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
they're looking at different people now, I guess, that, you know, I think that Eli Carter would be a good get for them, and, you know, that they're really working on East Coast right now. You know, that's where they're from, that's where the roots are, the staff is, so I you can understand why.
Yeah, do they think that long-term that's going to be their primary source, or have you heard anything one way or the other? I mean, my thought would be that you know, for now, because he's got, you know, such ties out there that it's going to be pretty fertile recruiting ground. But how many guys are you going to get from New York that are going to want to come play at Iowa?
Yeah, I guess it all depends on the success. You know, if they can see somebody like Melson Basabi can make half a success in Iowa and he's comfortable, you know, in the Midwest, they, you know, that's a really good recruiting tool there right out of the bat. So
yeah,
it's possible, you know, and there's also some JUCOs out there they're looking at, you know. I don't remember if you remember that Chris Colvin, the old Cyclone, he's doing a JUCO stint now someplace on the West Coast, and I don't know if I was looking at him or not, but he's another guy that keep an eye out over there as well. So I don't know. I think number one, the big one, is to grab some kind of guard for Iowa, and I think they will, whether it's JUCO or it's some, you know, three-star or two-star point guard just to help him out.
Now, as far as the newcomers go, I've been very impressed with what we've gotten out of Mesabi. We've already talked about a little bit, but you know, Cartwright's really stepped in, and almost, you know, no offense to Coley, because he only really got to play for a couple of games before he went down with the hernia and now the back problems. But Cartwright really seems to be fitting into the system that McCaffrey installed pretty well. He seems to be a better, at least at this point, a better slasher to the basket.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's pretty much the only guy in the Iowa team that can create his own shot right now. And sometimes, you know, he makes the poor choice of creating his own shot. But at least Iowa has that possibility. You know, and once he gets a little more comfortable with the coaching philosophy, I won't call it a system, but once he gets more comfortable with the coaching philosophy, then he'll improve and he'll find the open man. And you know, I think he takes a little too many shots for my liking. But overall, we need, you know, Iowa as a whole needs him, and he's really stepped up the plate with Cully's injury. But I think overall, if you want to talk about other newcomers, I think I've been, you know, pretty impressed with Marble overall. He seems like he has the widest and greatest array for a skill set of any of the new guys. And I think by his senior year, and some people might argue with me, but I think Deb has the best chance to be the most all-around best player out of this class right now.
And I've been really impressed with how Zach McCabe's played. I mean, kind of playing in a role that I really didn't expect him to, kind of off the bench. You know, that Vinnie Microwave Johnson, a little bit of spark when they need him, and knock down an open shot when he gets it.
Yeah, he's got some fire to him, too, which I like. You know, it's nice to watch somebody out there that, you know, is going to stick up for his teammates and is going to get at it. I thought, you know, tonight's game against Ohio State, I thought at one point he's going to get in trouble there when he got that reach in, and
yeah,
they called a foul on him, which was an awful call, by the way. But, yeah, he must have learned.
He and Romer.
Yeah.
We're both unhappy with that call.
Romer is always angry, isn't he?
Boy, if he can control it and not get foul all the time. The observation has been made, and I think probably rightfully so, that his reputation precedes him so much that every close call is going against him.
Yeah.
Especially now, once we've hit conference play and everybody knows him. You know, he was the walking embodiment of the 1-1 last year. So, you know, he's going to need to maybe control that a little bit. But yeah, I agree. We need a little bit of fire from those guys, and it certainly has helped.
I think it comes down from the top too. You know,
yeah.
With McCaffrey, I think I just at some point it might get annoying to Hawkeye fans, you know, with McCaffrey, you know, getting some technical fouls here and there and maybe hurting Iowa, and maybe his fire's a little too much because people are going to start calling me a crybaby, like, you know, how some Iowa fans rip on, you know, Bruce Weber and the like. But it's a breath of fresh air right now for Iowa fans. They can't get enough of McCaffrey, and I'm with it. I just love the fire. It's nice to care about Iowa basketball again.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you there for Illinois?
No, I was not.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd made the trip down or not, but I heard that the atmosphere was as good as it's been in quite some time at CHI.
Yeah, it was really, really good that game. And I you know, the sellout was nice to see, and
yep.
I think people are going to see this competing with the number 2 team in the nation and use that as, you know, an indication that, you know, maybe this team needs us out there. And I think it'll happen. Carver Hawkeye is not going to be empty forever. So wins will help, but good showings is a lot better than that as well, and actually a fun style to watch. It's not like I was just going up down the floor and getting blown up by 30 or 40 points like a VMI team or something like that. They're actually competing and having a fun style to watch. So those things combined are really going to bring back the crowd.
We've kind of buried the lead here, but you know, the big two for Iowa, I think if they're going to have any real significant long-term success this year, Gaten seems to be coming around. You know, clearly off to a slow start because of the hand injury, but the shot's coming back. He knocked down some big ones tonight, and seems to be finding that touch again.
I think it's, yeah, you know, if we can find the role for Gaten is pretty set in stone. You know, he's a great jump shooter. He's not a guy that's going to be taking it to the hole. I think maybe he's figured that out, that getting in the middle of those trees and trying to draw fouls not going to happen yet, even in his junior year. So he's kind of hanging out there at the three-point arc and knocking them down and hitting those 15-foot jumpers. And that's really what Iowa needs from him, because as you saw tonight, when he gets just that little bit of separation, it's going to go down. And that's fantastic to see happen. And McCaffrey hinted that early in the year before he went down with that left hand injury, that he was just stroking it, hitting everything. So it's good to see Matt get that stroke back. And he's deadly. I mean, I'll put him up against anybody in the Big Ten as far as, you know, just pure shooting.
Yeah.
As long as Iowa knows that's his game and he's not forcing too much, because when he does force, you know, we see turnovers and we see lazy passes and we see stuff like that, and that's what Iowa doesn't need. They just need him to be that shooter.
Yeah, and I think all along, I mean, he kind of came in with the weight of the whole program on his shoulders, you know, right off the bat, and I think he's always tried to do too much, and maybe, you know, now he's kind of finally found some running partners who can take some of that burden off of him and let him just do what he does best. You know, obviously the other big cog here is Eric May, who didn't play tonight, but I think is pretty universally regarded as the best athlete on this team. And really seems to be fitting in. He played quite well last year. He's kind of a, you know, square peg in a round hole, but it really seems to be fitting in well now that they're running the ball a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's got that tenacity and ups that can just, on either side of the ball, whether it's on offense or defense, you know, he's blocking shots and, you know, all those steals he's had so far this year with the pressure defense. And, you know, even last year as a freshman, he got stuck into a lot of positions where he was guarding their number one player, their number one guard, and he came through a lot of the time. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how bad this groin injury is and if it's going to slow him down coming in the middle of this Big Ten season, because that's going to affect them. I mean, he scored in double figures every single game this year except for four of them. So, I mean, he's obviously a big part of this offense. He faded a couple games there in the interstate, you know, the interstate games between with UNI, Iowa State, and Drake. I think he scored like 15 or 20 points combined those three games. So once he got through that thing, you know, he kind of came back against the last two games. And, you know, I agree with you as far as being the athlete he is. I would agree he's definitely the most athletic player on the team, and Iowa needs that athleticism on both ends of the court.
Well, you know, we're only two games into a 18-game Big Ten schedule. Iowa's sitting right at 500 now at 7-7. Where do you see this thing ending? How many do you think they end up picking off in the conference?
Oh, I think they can probably snag four or five. I think they beat Northwestern and Indiana at home.
Think they beat Northwestern?
I do, yeah. It's not a secret. I'm not high on Northwestern. I think they're a soft team. They play soft opponents, and anytime they get up against anybody that's got any type of skill, they kind of collapse there. I mean, they got talent on there, but it's a weak talent. They have no strength at all on that team. And yeah, I think they beat Northwestern at home. I think that's the one they beat at home. And like I said, Indiana, I think they went at home, and I think they beat Michigan at home too. And then it just comes down to, you know, can they get a roadie? You know, it's going to be tough. Maybe Indiana, maybe Michigan. But, yeah, I think four. And like I said, the one upset I see is that Purdue at home, I think. And that's probably the most unlikely of the home games if you had to pick one. But I just think – I like the way they matched up. I mean, you saw Basabi take on arguably the best post player in the Big Ten now as a freshman, Sullinger. He played head-to-head with him, and he actually – I would argue he played better than Sullinger. He had more, he had six blocks against him. Two were actually against him, and he had more rebounds. And I think he was just shy a couple points of Sullinger when he played him this last game. But I think he can match up with Juwan Johnson. I mean, give him another, you know, 16 games under his belt, he's going to get better. You've already seen how good he's gotten this last 14 games. So I think as long as Iowa's guard play can catch up and there's no significant injuries, you see, I think they can compete with Purdue at home. So, you know, four or five wins, I think is what we'll end up with somewhere there.
Soldier's, 12. Soldier's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Soldier
yeah.
looks pretty damn good. Ohio State looks like a pro team when you get them. Especially, God, I watched them play Florida. I didn't think we'd stay within 20 points of them, so.
Yeah,
it was probably the same tonight.
It's fun to watch a legit post player in the Big Ten. It's been a while since you've seen somebody with his back to his basket can make legit post moves. And even though he did it against Iowa, you got to appreciate it. I mean, it was fun to watch.
Who do you think wins the conference? Gun to your head.
Nobody likes my Nobody likes my – I like Michigan State. I do. I think, you know, their bigs are weak. I mean, it's a really, really weak front court for Michigan State. But guard play wins it in the college basketball, and their guards are some of the best. And I like Michigan State a lot. I think they win it. Ohio State's going to be up there too. And, I like Michigan State. I think with Lucas and entire backcourt, they're gonna play well.
Well, I can't disagree with you. Michigan State's getting what Michigan State always does. You know, they lost games against really good teams early on. Maybe didn't look as good as people thought they probably should, but they always year in, year out grow more than just about anybody else. And, you know, I'd expect
absolutely
the typical, you know, Michigan State, you know, contend for a conference championship, grab like a, you know, 4 seed in the tournament, and then end up in the Final Four as usual.
Yep. Oh, I can see that. I can see that with this team too. It's not as talented as last year's team, but they're talented enough to win the Big Ten, and that's something to say too, considering, you know, the Big Ten is probably the best conference in the nation right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think if this Iowa team was playing in a typical Big Ten year, I mean, you could probably see them winning, you know, 6 or 7 games, but it's hard to find teams that are truly beatable. I'm going to go ahead and say that we're going to beat Minnesota.
I like that call too.
Just because I want to beat Minnesota.
Well, did you see they played? They almost lost to Indiana tonight.
Yeah.
At home, and Indiana's, you know, they're a marginal team. Crean hasn't done a lot in his years that he's been there, but there's some athletes there. But Minnesota should not be losing to Indiana at home or not have that close of a game at home either. So yeah, they're definitely beatable.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm going to go ahead and just pick that one. That's going to be the one I care about this year. Let's beat Minnesota. Rest of it,
there you go. There you go.
All right. Well, we'll remind our readers to catch you at your own blog, Storm and Spanks Hawkeye Ramblings. And, of course, as always at HN. Justin, good to see you, bud.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
Thanks for having me.